Welcome to the Summer Break editions of the Best of Sales Skills podcast. I'm Mark McGuinness. I've selected the very best episodes from the past year to share with you for your listening pleasure. This episode is Nigel Thomas. I was completely taken by surprise when this episode turned out to be as good as it did. Because usually when someone reaches out to me and requests a spot on the podcast, like that is when I don't go and select them and find them, it can turn into a bit of a pitch fest about their products and services. But this turned out to be a masterclass on cold outreach. So good, this episode is my personal favorite for 2022, and there was a lot of good ones out there. So one of the things I love about this is how a marketing agency that Nigel runs specializes in lead generation, and it uses cold outreach to grow their business. Absolutely love it, and I'm sure you will too.
Yeah, well, if you call yourself a sales nerd, Mark, I'm a sales rebel. I don't tend to do things by the book, and I just like to have a little bit of fun. Obviously, sales is extremely important to business. Anyone listens to this podcast knows that, and they want to brush up on their skills. So it's important we have the strategy, and we'll get into that. But I also like to have a little bit of fun at the same time.
Welcome to the Best of Sales Skills podcast. I'm Mark McGuinness, and thanks for listening. This show is all about helping salespeople engage with their clients and their prospects more effectively. Today, we have the ultimate guide to cold email outreach delivered to us by Nigel Thomas. This is a longer episode, so you're going to want to have a pen handy, as this lad really knows his stuff. I took a lot of value away from it, and I'm sure you will too. You know, when someone has this level of detail to share, and it does go into a lot of detail, you know it's a proven process, and I love it when experts share their knowledge so openly and generously. Nigel's a great presenter, and he has that typical English cheeky humor. You're really going to like listening to Nigel. I know I certainly did. So without too much further ado, let's jump across the show and hear what Nigel's got to say about cold email outreach. Nigel Thomas, welcome to the Best of Sales Skills podcast. Man, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure. And thanks for staying up on your evening time, 7:30 you said. So I appreciate you having me on here, Mark. I'm really excited to dive into this conversation today.
Yeah, I do go to bed early, but not at 7:30. So I should be able to stay up for the duration. No, that's all good. So, mate, thank you. I'm really keen to have you on because you're going to bring a slightly different perspective to, you know, the conversations that we normally have here on this podcast. We're very B2B focused. We're, you know, very sales focused. And you're the CEO of an excellent company called Alpha Inbound, I believe, which from the outside at least looks to be a super successful marketing agency. And it looks like you specialize in paid social ads that you do for companies, is it? But of course, you're going to be talking about outbound. So that's interesting. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please, Nigel, but also about this awesome company, Alpha Inbound.
Yeah, well, if you call yourself a sales nerd, Mark, I'm a sales rebel. I don't tend to do things by the book, and I just like to have a little bit of fun. Obviously, sales is extremely important to business. Anyone listens to this podcast knows that, and they want to brush up on their skills. So it's important we have the strategy, and we'll get into that. But I also like to have a little bit of fun at the same time. Now, in terms of Alpha Inbound, yes, we work direct to consumer brands who, you know, have physical products, and we're helping them drive more revenue, bring new customers into their ecosystem. Usually they're using Shopify by paid social. So ads on Facebook, you know, those annoying ads that you see in the newsfeed that say sponsored. Yeah, we're responsible for those. So, but look, it drives these companies' revenue. We work with fantastic companies, but how do we actually go around and generate that business? Well, actually 12 months ago, you said super successful. I really appreciate the kind words, but I was unemployed about 12 months ago.
Really?
And I've kind of been chewed up and spat out of another startup.
No.
Didn't really see eye to eye the owner, and just some other things happened, but we'll put that to one side. And I didn't really know where to go. And Josh, who's the founder of Alpha Inbound, he was kind of spinning his wheels a little bit. He was running this agency kind of on the side, and he was involved in some other projects. And I could just see a guy there, Mark, who really cared about helping his clients. And he's an exceptional media buyer, you know, in terms of running these ads. He spent over $20 million on Facebook. He gets incredible results, but he didn't really have the business acumen or the B2B experience to develop more business and build a team around that. So that's where I came in. I'd actually built an inside sales team and I'd learned off this guy called Darren Lucia at my previous company, who had basically built the sales team for Grand Central Hub that sold to GoDaddy for $124 million. I learned all of his sales stuff, his B2B process. And also we work with Cole Gordon, who has an incredible B2B sales process. So both of those guys, as well as just building that inside sales team, I had a lot of experience. And I just said to Josh, I mean, my grand idea, if I'm being honest, was I'll come in, I'll get all these great commissions, build the business, and then I'll go off and start my own company. Genius idea, Nigel. When I came into it, there wasn't really any processes there. So I had to build everything from scratch. So 12 months ago, we were pretty much starting from scratch, if I'm being totally honest. And fast forward 12 months, all through cold outbounds, we've managed to get to a seven-figure run rate pretty much. We should be able to hit that in the next couple of months and set ourselves up for a big 2023. So I still think we're pretty raw in terms of where we want to go. But we've learned a lot through this process and me being able to just really test out the skills that I'd have in these previous agencies that I built. And I'll go into those processes in a second. But it's been a hell of a journey. And like I said, I like to enjoy myself at the same time. As you can tell, I also like to talk. That's why I go on podcasts.
Mate, well, that's fantastic. And I'll tell you what I love about this, listeners, is that the inbound business is building its business through outbound. I love that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've had some responses off people saying, well, if you're so good at thinking inbound, why are you doing outbound to create your own sales? And my response is, well, let's just be honest, because So the difference is we're usually selling products that cost around, what, £30 or $30 compared to our service, which right now is a minimum of $5,000 a month. So you don't usually do that just over a Facebook ad. Slightly different sales process there, which I'm sure the people listening to this are probably service-based so obviously they're going to have those higher ticket items.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Nigel, I've just realized something. Yeah. Why are you? So, of course, we're recording this on Zoom. Why are you in black and white?
I know you're going to ask. Yeah. So, great question. And that's exactly why. So, let me ask you this, Mark.
I've never
how
seen
many
this before.
How many calls have you been on the last month on average?
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't know. Five a day. Yeah.
Yeah. How many of them were the guests in black and white?
Well, if I count the ones today, one.
Exactly. So there you go. The point is, I'm going to stay top of mind because it's different to everyone else. So yeah, as well as it's part of I like to have this joke, which is my personality is too colorful, so I need to keep the camera in black and white. But look, as well as that, it's about being different. And it's about just standing out compared to your competition. If you're a service-based business and your client or potential customer has got five different services they're comparing against and you're one of them, how are you going to stand out when they're obviously up at night thinking about what they're going to go for? Well, there's so many different things, but if you can just get the edge, even if it's at 0.51%, I'm going to get it. And that's why these little things, even though they don't seem like it, they really stack up and matter. So that was a long explanation, but I really like to think about the psychology behind everything, Mark.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. The other thing that I'd like to share is it took me this long to figure it out because all of the content that I looked at in my pre-call, like our pre-recording research, was black and white. So like your website's black and white, and I only just noticed that.
Yep.
And your LinkedIn profile, everything's black and white. So when you came on, you looked exactly like I expected you to.
All of our team members are all in black and white, and every single call we have is in black and white. So it's all by design.
God, I want to steal that now. Okay, well done. Wait, congratulations. That's it. That's awesome. All right. So now we're going to have, you know, hundreds of people across APAC doing sales meetings in black and white. That'll be cool.
Yeah, go for it, guys. I mean, if you want to try and copy my personality, I'll go for it. I'm a little bit crazy, but I'm all up for collaboration ideas. This is just something maybe don't go black and white, just be yourself and do something original.
Okay, so let's talk about outbound strategy here.
Let's go for it.
So how did you build this business? You went through outbound, you've got a process. Walk us through that, mate, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. So it's mostly cold email. So, I mean, we broke it down, didn't we, into six different points.
Yeah.
So infrastructure, your ICP, your ideal client profile, the psychology behind it, having some fun, like I said, multi-platform follow-up, and then actually the systems behind the operation.
Okay.
So, yeah, in terms of the infrastructure,
what does that
if
mean?
You want to, yeah, cold email. So most people talk about cold email. Obviously, you look through your inbox now, you probably got loads of cold emails. Like you said, you know, before this, in terms of the pitching for the podcast, most of them are just big, chunky, black and white text, boring, not interested, delete. That's what most cold emails are, because people don't put the time to do in the research to make them personalized, but also to actually have the infrastructure to get the deliverability right to get in the inbox in the first place. So again, I'm not sure if you're a service provider, what sort of setup you got, but there's certain things you can leverage, and one of them is technology. So you need to actually be leveraging technology to your advantage. Mm-hmm. A platform we've used in our outreach to date is called Lemlist, and they have a product called Lemwarm. And what Lemwarm does is it actually warms up your emails for you. So within, I don't want to get too technical, but basically, if you just start an email, like a subdomain, for example, because you should never send emails from your main domain, because if that gets blacklisted, you know, you're not going to be able to talk to your clients anymore. So you always should start a subdomain. So alphainbound.com, one of the subdomains we use, for example, is alphainbound.org or info, whatever it might be. But you shouldn't start sending out emails day one from this email. What you need to do is show Gmail or whatever provider you're using that you're a legitimate source, that you're sending out emails, you're receiving them back, because that means your deliverability when you send out your cold outreach is going to be a lot higher. So you do use a product like Lemwarm, it literally does the entire thing for you. It sends out 20 emails a day, receives 20 emails back within their server. It opens them up, it puts them into different places. And this is the thing, if you try to do manually what Lemwarm does, then it would take you hours and hours and hours. That's why in today's day and age, in 2022, in sales, the people who leverage technology best are always one step ahead. And it's just always better to pay for it, to be honest with you.
Yep.
So it's like, I can't remember what it's like, $80 a month for this piece of technology. Like it's, you know, if you leverage it properly, it's so worth it. So that's one thing. Once you've got these different subdomains warmed up, you need to make sure that when you send out the cold outreach, I think this is something that most people get wrong, put an unsubscribe link in there. Because again, I don't know if you receive an email from someone and then a few days later you receive a follow-up and you're still not interested. And at this point in time, people are just pissing you off. So give them a chance to unsubscribe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Although I like to go through the cadence because I'm a psycho. So I want to see what their pitch is, what their bump email looks like, and then what their breakout email is like, if they've got those, and how long they're going to persist for. I'm looking for people that are going to go more than the standard three with two days in between. But I'm not the average person, right? I'm 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is for... The last thing I'll say on infrastructure is think of it like this. And by the way, someone will probably correct me here because I don't know the exact technical aspects behind it, but this is how someone explained it to me who's incredibly knowledgeable at email. Mm-hmm. So when you send out emails, if you get someone, let's just say it's a point score of 100 just because it's easier. If you get someone to open your email, you get, let's say, plus 5 points. If someone responds to it, plus 10 points. Now, if someone marks it as spam, it's like minus 50 points or more, or minus 70 points. So every time you get marked as spam, you're taking 3 steps backwards. And every time you get a response, you're taking, you know, half or 1 step forward, whatever it might be. So you need to, you know, you really need to stack up the responses, stack up the positive responses and negate the spam. So anything you can do to negate spam, like I said, unsubscribe emails, and we'll get into the ICP in a second, but make sure whatever you do, spend more time. And sales guys, they or women as well, I should say, they just don't seem to spend the time enriching their list properly. You will need to make sure, again, another tool, Never Bounce. For Never Bounce, I think for $50, you can clean something like a 20,000 emails. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you can get less than a 1% bounce rate, that's really good news for your email sending. So there's just another tool. You know, there's no excuse not to be using these tools in this day and age. Don't send emails out that are going to bounce. So make sure they're validated. And ideally, make sure that they're business emails, for example, mark@yourbusiness.com. So make sure you do the enrichment properly. And the last thing I'll say, because we're going to get to point five in a second, and I'll try and hurry up a little bit here. But when you get to the multi-platform follow-up and touch points, you need to have the other profiles in place. So for example, if you're going to reach out to someone on LinkedIn, what, again, your industry, maybe Facebook, Instagram, it's going to get a bit personal, but let's just say LinkedIn, because that's usually good for business. Don't just get their email for the decision-maker you're going after. Also get their LinkedIn. And then you've got that further down the line. In any other pieces of information, you just really want to build that out. And then obviously that's going to be great for the sales team in the CRM as you build out your sales data, if that makes sense. So you've got to think, you know, you've got to future pace this stuff. If you're spending the time, or let's just say, if you're looking at that lead and thinking, well, I don't want to source all of that information because they might not be worth the time.
Yep. Well,
why are you even reaching out to them in the first place? Like, just move on to someone else. So that's kind of what I'll say around infrastructure. Was there anything you think I missed out?
Well, no, I don't think so. But where do you start? Like, where do you get the list from?
Yes, where do you get the list from? It's a good question. I think we're going to have to talk about the ICP first, though.
Okay.
Because I think that's where a lot of people skip that. Now, one of my favorite quotes, Mark, is from Abraham Lincoln. And it goes like this, which is, if he had 6 hours to chop down a tree, he'd spend the first 4 hours sharpening his axe. Now, the key moral of the story there is you need to plan and you need to have strategy before you go out there blasting out cold emails. Instead of the kind of machine gun approach, you want to go with a sniper approach, which is understanding your ICP, your ideal client profile. So what kind of companies are you going to go after? For example, I'll use Alpha Inbound, for example. We're $5 to $30 million in revenue, and the decision makers we're looking to get hold of are usually the CEOs or founders or the CMOs or the marketing directors. Company size is usually 10 to 20 employees. The vertical that they're in within the e-commerce space is usually health and wellness, supplement brands, or CBD brands or men's grooming brands. And I can go further and further. And to be honest, I could probably even do more research around our ideal client profile. Now, where's the best place to start with this? Well, actually, if you've got current customers, get on the phone with them. Get on the phone with your current customers and ask them questions about why they're using your service, what the benefits are, what were their pain points before using your service. And if they were going out there in the market now to search for a company like yours, what would be the steps that they take? That's really important because only 3% of the market are going to buy at one time. So if you can get ahead of that 3% before they make a decision, which again, maybe that's content further down the line, but you understand the buying process. And it's all about understanding that buying process of your ideal client profile. And the last thing I'll say, and this is just the most important thing if you're going to do outreach, understand the language that your ICP use. If I'm talking to a CBD brand, they have a completely different language to if I'm talking to a beauty product brand. And if you understand how to talk their language, you will stick out like a sore thumb in their email inbox, regardless of what persuasion strategies and call to actions you use. And the only way to understand their language, in my eyes, is really getting on the phone with these people. So again, if it's your ideal, if you've got customers there, get on the phone with them, make notes, go back over those recordings before you send any outreach. If you haven't got customers, you're going to have to go out there into the market and think of a way to offer some sort of value to get on the phone and try and get on the phone with 10 to 20 people. And you trust me when I tell you, if you actually listen, you know, we've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You will understand how they talk and what their pain points are. If you listen, you ask the right questions, get all of that information mapped out, And then you're going to know who to go after. And at that point, then you can start doing the enrichment. Now, you can use databases to go and find like huge lead lists. I'd be very careful on this. I would personally build out, get someone in your team to build out these lists yourself and really go through a QA, build out a QA process. So I don't know how you want me to structure this, Mark, if it's more, you know, someone to do it themselves or someone to do it, document it, and then kind of SOP it for other people in their team.
It doesn't matter. Like whatever, however you think you guys should be doing it or people should be doing it. What do you think?
Yes. So I'm all about systems. So the best way, the thing is you've got to get down and dirty first. You've got to get in the trenches and do it yourself. Otherwise the quality's not going to be there. And for that enrichment, I think something that salespeople forget, honestly, this is just, it's incredible to me that salespeople don't think about this, which is they make the sale, sure, but then what happens after that in terms of the resources it's going to pull from the fulfillment team if it's a poor fit for the business, and then the lifetime value for the long term, the business, because let's be honest, if you can't retain your clients, you ain't got a business. So if you get clients that stay for a long period of time that really fit with your ICP and are really good fit, and they're going to be great for the rest of your team, so it's going to increase morale and all these other kinds of stuff, things that business owners think of, then you're going to have more cash flow to invest into better technology to make your life as a salesperson a lot easier. And by the way, sneaky idea here, if you want a promotion, if you start thinking about things like that and go and talk to one of your bosses, trust me when I tell you, you're going to be an asset for the company. And yeah, it's going to make a big difference. So start thinking like that and understand not every sale is the same. And I appreciate, you know, people might be listening to this thinking, well, it's all well and good saying that, Nigel, but I have to hit my end of month projections. I get that. But just, you got to think longer term here. You really got to think longer term. So yeah, when you're doing that, you need to understand that ideal client profile and go out and build these lists yourself. So one way you can do it is obviously using something like Sales Navigator. You can go and build. So we have different databases that we use in e-commerce, which is going to be different for every industry. There's another tool which is called Apollo.io, which is pretty good for scraping in terms of like emails, phone numbers, and that kind of thing. And the seamless.ai, which is pretty good. It's more expensive though. But to start with, to be honest, it depends how much budget and resource you've got. But you can literally just, you can find these people on LinkedIn and just build out a list of 100 people. And what I would recommend is for your first outbound campaign, because it is a numbers game still, even with all the personalization and stuff, probably build a list of 300 people. That'd be a good place to start. But whilst you're doing it, when you're going through the process, take notes of what you're doing. And even better, record videos. Do you know Loom? Do you use Loom?
Yep.
Yeah, so just literally turn on Loom, record videos, and SOP the process as you're going along. So you don't have to go back. And then the quality, again, because the problem is a lot of people, they'll go through this process, they'll delegate it out, and then the quality will just drop. And then what I said, obviously loads of sales are made, great, but then what happens is they just destroy resources in the back end of the business. So you need to make sure the quality stays up here after you've delegated it. So SOP the process. And yeah, at that point, you've got a list of 300 people, you've got the infrastructure in place. So now it's about the psychology of the actual email itself. Are you still with me, Mark?
I am. You're doing a great job of explaining it. I'm not interrupting because you're tying it all together perfectly. You certainly know what you're talking about. This is working really well. Okay. So, and just before you go, I'm also a big fan. We build our own lists. I've got an outbound business as well. So I've got a sales training business, which you know about. And I've got another business where we do outbound as a service. And we build our own lists because we just find that that's the best way. They're the best lists to get. So
yeah, definitely
100%. All right.
I could probably learn a few things from you as well then.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Let's go. Psychology. What do we got there?
Yeah, psychology. So like I said, going back to that whole thing with Abraham Lincoln, you got to think about every single line. It's like real estate. It matters. So Here's something that I never hear people talk about, Mark, when they're doing cold email. Optimize for phone. How many people that you're reaching out to read emails on their desktop? These days, it's a lot less. Now, when you see a big chunk of text on, let's just say when you see text on desktop, it's a lot different to mobile. So before you send out an email, and this is part of psychology, email it to yourself, look at it on your phone, and trust me when I tell you, you're going to be really surprised because you'll look at that email and you think, let's be honest, that's a massive wall of text. If I got that email, I'm not reading it. I'm just going to delete that straight away. And I've done that because I literally did it myself. And as soon as I did that, we optimized them. They were a lot less chunky lines. We put more bullet points and that kind of stuff. Guess what? The response rate started going up a lot. So I'd say start there. Actually think about how your user and prospect is going to consume that information. Make their life easier. Presentation, ladies and gentlemen, is half the battle. If you can sort out the presentation, look in your, and if you don't believe me, just go and look in your inbox right now. Get your phone out, look in your inbox, go through each email and look at how many just don't understand presentation. They don't take the time to really make your life easier. If you can do that, you're literally already ahead of 90% of people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'll just pause you there because there's a lot of people on this podcast also get my weekly sales mailer and they'll be interested to know that before I send it, so I usually write it on a Monday and send it on a Tuesday, I edit it and read it several times, but I only review it on my mobile. So I don't, so I write it on my desktop, but when I send it to test through MailChimp, I only write, so I look at it on my mobile and then I make the edits to make it look better. I don't care what it looks like on desktop. And I'll probably do that 4 or 5 times before I hit send.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, and you should be, and that's time extremely well invested. So, you know, listen from the expert, ladies and gents.
Well, I just say that because they get the email. So they probably go, okay, that's why it's got all these gaps in there and like what it's like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes sense. Presentation is so important. And again, I just feel like people don't talk about this.
Good tip.
And then after that, obviously, you probably heard all this before. If the infrastructure's in place, you've got the deliverability set up properly. Now you're in their inbox. You need to have a good subject line. Now, as well as the subject line, what a lot of people don't mention is the first line. Because again, if it's an email, you can see the subject line. But if the first line is straight into a sales pitch, they're not going to open it anyway. And also, I think a lot of people don't... What am I trying to say here? I think the whole... the subject line's so important, you need to get them to open it, has kind of got lost in translation. So now what you find is you have these clickbait subject lines which have no relevance to the emails. And just because you get someone to open it doesn't mean they're going to respond. So you actually have to have some sort of cadence to the email. So psychologically, they open the email, they go into it, and then it ties back to the subject line. If your subject line is something like, I don't know, whatever it is, quick question, which is obviously a common one that gets used, but then you open the email and there's no question. They're not going to respond to you. They're just going to think you're an idiot.
Or free pizza, and then there's no pizza, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, actually respect who you're talking to and make it relevant. So subject lines, you know, there's loads out there. You can test them. If you really want to master subject lines, but this is going to take more resource, you probably won't have time to do it. You want to go with something really personal. So go and listen to all of their podcasts and you can literally put something very specific. Maybe if they've just got a round of investment, it's something on, I don't know, congrats on the investment and question about X, whatever it might be, what actually you're talking about in the email, then it should be hi, first name. And then the first line should be something that's personalized to them. I don't think I need to go into why that's important. Just show people that you're not just doing placeholders. Like, because again, placeholders were great in 2010, where it's like company name, first name, but now everyone knows that software does it. So yeah. you've got to do a little bit more than that. Now, the thing that will make you stand out a lot in the inbox is using pictures and GIFs. And again, it's about being fun. So we kind of tying it into that point here. But 4 billion people use email, and I get people speaking to me, Mark, saying, yeah, but cold email doesn't work anymore when email in e-commerce brands. Yeah, how about this? It's just because your cold emails suck. At the end of the day, people haven't lost their personalities in the process here. Sure, they might be getting more emails, but if they open an email, it's relevant to them. It makes them laugh, and it's in line with their pain points and speaking the language, like we said. The more that, you know, there's a good likelihood they're going to respond. So can you make someone laugh? I'll give you an example. We email CBD brands, like I said, it's one of our ICPs. At 420 last year, for anyone who knows about that, it's a week when lots of people smoke cannabis, whatever. And at the time, Elon Musk was about to buy Twitter. Obviously, that didn't play out. Wonder what happened there. But anyway, and at the start of the email read like this. Hey, first name, or hey, Mark, trust you enjoyed 420 last week, just like the new Twitter owner, ... And then it had a GIF of Elon Musk smoking weed on the Joe Rogan podcast. That's like, again, all those people understand that date. All of those brand owners understand that date, and it makes them laugh. And by the way, this email, and I'll talk about it in a second, got a, 80% open rate, a 15% response rate out of 200 and I think it was 40 cent. From that, we booked 25 discovery calls and closed 6 to 7 contracts, all 5-figure contracts.
Lovely. I mean, that's a great example, but I do have a technical question.
Go for it.
So if we're sending things like GIFs and pictures inside a cold email, aren't we going to lower our chances of deliverability? Or
no,
have I read that
it's
wrong?
It's a myth.
It's a myth.
Yeah.
Oh, this is worth it just for that. Tell me about that quick.
Yeah, yeah. Go see, the thing is that's what I learned by using this tool called Lemlist. So if you go to lemlist.com, they actually have templates and examples of how to put pictures and GIFs and stuff in the emails. The founder, this French guy, is a bit of a genius, and they did loads of different tests, and actually they proved that using images in email, if they're relevant, it actually does. So if you use attachments, that's different.
Yep.
But if you just use light images in the emails, it doesn't actually make much difference on deliverability at all. It's just a myth.
Oh, good call. Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Outbound Mythbusters with Mark and Nige. Yeah.
And the thing is if anyone wants to try and prove it, then even if they say that it does harm deliverability by 1%, the amount of extra interest and response you're going to get is going to be way better. Yeah. Now, the thing is, again, leveraging technology, if you use a platform like Lemlist, there's other platforms out there like reply.io, there's loads of them. But what you can do is you can use an image and then you can put dynamic placeholders. So I've got an email campaign where I've got a coffee from Starbucks. I'm holding up the coffee. Shouldn't tell this, should I? If anyone's listening, watching my campaigns, they'll know now. But I basically got a coffee from Starbucks. I'm holding it up to the camera. And what you can do is I'm sending out an email to 300 people. You can get the software to dynamically put their first name on the cup automatically. So it does it all for you. I just need to literally take one picture with that cup. So it's little things like that, which the software can do. And ideally, if that's something relatable to your target market that they would understand, like an image, which, you know, just mess around, have a few brainstorming ideas with your marketing team and just make these people laugh. Now you've got real attention. What are you going to do about it? So this is the point where obviously we need to get down to the pain points. I always go to Cialdini's, you know, 6 points of persuasion. If no one's read that book from Robert Cialdini, if you're a salesperson, you need to read it. Again, spoke about that guy that I'd learned from, Dan Lucia. He told me it's the best sales book he's ever read. That's why I read it. And I want to go and read it again. It's so good. Use the principles for that in every piece of outreach you do. But one of the main things is social proof. So if you've got case studies that are relevant and those obviously, you know, customers are known in that market, make sure you use them. Now, what I would suggest is if you're going to put a load of information about someone you've helped out, use bullet points. The rule of three seems to work the best psychologically. It's been proven. So break them out into 3 different bullet points. Maybe hit a pain point first after the image. So you got their attention, hit a pain point, go with a social proof, 3 examples of how you helped this specific client. And then, of course, as always, make sure you include a call to action. Last thing I'll say on that is the call to action. Gong.io did a massive piece of research on, I think it was over 300,000 cold emails. And they actually found that an interest-based call to action receives a, I think it's something like a 5% higher response rate than a straight call. Because again, the people you're asking for, everyone's asking for their time. So instead of asking, like, can I book a call at X time in your calendar? Just ask something along the lines of, would this sound of interest to you? Are you interested to learn more? Would this, you know, fit your goals for Q4, for example? And just once they're interested, get them to engage in the conversation, then go and book a call. But of course, you need to include that call to action.
Yep. So just two things there. You know, I call that slowing down the ask to speed up the result. Right. So you give people to say yes to something and then you ask them for what, you know, the meeting or whatever it is you want. So I love that. And everybody on this podcast knows all about Cialdini because he is my favorite. And they're probably sick of Dr. Bob.
Which book's your favorite, by the way?
Oh, Persuasion.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, Persuasion. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the examples in there are just fantastic. I also think they're written very different. You've got 2017 versus 1984. You know, so the first one is hard to read but brilliant, and the second one is really easy to read, and so I recommend Persuasion to most people time after time. They're both great, but
yeah, you know, you find a lot of books and they're just regurgitated information, right? But that's a book where it's actually from the source. This guy's a genius.
Yeah, and been recognized ever since. So
yeah, and you've met him, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was good. He was very, very humble and very, very polite and very quiet. But he was, you know, he was good. We had a packed room here in Sydney for 3 or 4 days, I think, of seminars, you know, so I was surprised how many people turned up. But yeah, I've been interested to do, he's got that Science of Persuasion. You can be a Science of Persuasion coach. And I was thinking about doing that a long time ago.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. No. Guy. Like you said, for anyone who's not read it, just read it. I mean, you're just not going to get a better investment for like whatever it is, $9-$10 on a book.
All right. Where are we up to, Nod? We're doing well.
Yeah, for sure. So we already talked about having some fun. Hopefully, I've not bored you and I've not kind of made this too painful. But look, let's just say this: when you're writing these emails, you know, you're getting some pictures together. Not just trying to give your readers, that your prospects, a bit of fun. Just have some fun yourself, your team. Because look, cold outreach is hard. Like, you're going to get, we all know what it's like banging on doors and getting them slammed shut in your face. So have a little bit of fun with the process yourself. Trust me, I just tell you now, it makes so much difference.
Yeah, okay. And great, then, good advice. We can take it too seriously. I mean, it's serious work, but, you know, We've got to be alive at the end of it.
It's hard work. Like when you get no responses day after day after day after day after day, you've got to have something to keep that energy going. And like Winston Churchill says, you need to go from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm, because that one door that you can open, you need to be on top of form, you know? So just make it fun. Make the process fun.
That's right.
Multi-platform follow-up. We use mainly email, but then we'll go with LinkedIn as well.
Right.
And the more platforms that you can follow up with people, here's an interesting one, actually. So there's an owner of a really big brand that we're working with. And back in, I think it was October last year, he actually sent me an email with very high intent. And again, don't start messaging people loads of times if they don't show high intent. You're just going to piss them off. But if they do, you can use a more aggressive follow-up approach. He sent me an email, something like, when can we get started, Nigel? So I was like, okay, this guy's really interested. Checked out the brand, great brand, all on, like, nailed on the ICP. So literally within the next week, I sent him a follow-up email. He didn't respond. I sent him a text message. He didn't respond. I called him. He didn't respond. I sent him a message on LinkedIn. He didn't respond. I sent him a message on Facebook. He didn't respond. Then I sent an accumulation of 41 responses within a week. And on the 41st response, he messaged me back saying, yeah, let's get on a call. And when we got on a call, he told me he was testing me. He was testing me to see, he wanted to see the resemblance of how I followed up, because he thought, from the personality standpoint, that's exactly how we would represent our clients if we work with them. And he was right, by the way. So people do sometimes, like Mark said, he's a sales guy and he's kind of judging from your cadence of follow-ups. So if you get someone who shows high intent, don't be scared to be fairly aggressive with the follow-ups and make sure you use different platforms, because just like with the friends that you speak to, some of them use WhatsApp, some of them use Facebook, some of them use LinkedIn. The point is they all use different things, and that's going to be the same with your prospects. So try and reach out to them on different platforms. I probably would stick to email. Like, don't go unsolicited in WhatsApp. You're probably not going to make too many friends there. But yeah, go for cold email and LinkedIn. They're your best bets. But try and use multi-touch. And if you get the high intent, just go for it. Got nothing to lose.
What about phone calls? Did you guys throw those in there as well? Or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so again, this is the thing around understanding your ICP. Does your ideal client profile use a phone? For most of the e-commerce owners we speak to, they don't use phone that much. You know, they're behind their desks, they're tech people who like to build things remotely. And if we're just going to call them, we're just going to scare them off a lot of the time. Because I did try it a little bit, but then understanding and talking to our ICP more, we understood they don't really use phone that much. In our previous business, we work with realtors. They use phone all the time. Cold calling's fantastic. So again, it's about understanding your ICP. Otherwise, you're just wasting resource.
Okay. Yeah, good answer. Good answer. All right.
And then the last thing, systems. So again, without great systems in business, and I'm sure everyone knows this, but especially in sales, you're just not going to be able to keep on top of everything. And that's why you need to leverage technology. So using the right CRM, doing the research before you just go and plow in a load of information to see if it's going to be right for you and your team, not just now, but once you build out that sales team, and using the right technology for, you know, your cold outbounds to make sure that all these follow-ups, because look, if you're trying to send follow-ups manually and you've got nothing to remind you, even if you've got the best personal assistant in the world, human error, you're just going to miss it. And like I said, you just need to leverage technology. So systems are so important. But actually, for the follow-ups, if you have some other people in your team and you've done loads of different follow-ups, you should be SOPing that as you go along. By the way, I'm assuming everyone knows SOP, standard operating procedure, but SOP the responses, because what you'll find is for 80% of them, they can be answered with some sort of a template. Usually, you know, you're going to get high yes responses, like high intent, want to jump on a call with you. You're going to get a maybe response, ask for more information, or you're going to get a no response, not interested now, or maybe sometimes, depending on what email you sent them, you'll get a pissed off response. Like, you know, I've got some real interesting ones we can say for another day, but they're the kind of categories you're looking at. And if you can really get some messages, but actually don't, like, instead of like thinking of what to respond with before you do it, just do it as you go along and record the process. Put them on a Google Doc, make it easy. And then guess what? If you need to go on a week's holiday, fantastic. You can just give someone a Google document. They know exactly what to do. And yeah, jobs are good.
Mate, this is awesome. You know what you've just done, Nigel? I don't know whether you do know, but this is just an audio book on cold outreach via email. So, you know what I'll do? I'll share this with you. You just give this to somebody to go and ghostwrite your little booklet and then publish it. This is awesome.
Yeah, and it'll be $9.97.
It's got to end with a seven, right?
Yeah, of course. You know what's interesting? The guys at Traffic and Funnels, I don't know if you know them, but they reckon that there's some psychology behind ending prices in an eight. I don't buy it though. I don't know what it, I can't actually remember what it's about, but yeah, I don't know if it's just something they
made up. Well, it's supposed to be, I thought it was ending with a seven. Yeah. So anything that like $47.
They say it's an eight.
Okay. Well, it's not a nine and it's not a five. I know that's for sure. And it's certainly not a zero.
So. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it works. I mean, they've had a lot of success. So,
yeah.
But systems are just so important. And if you're using lots of different subdomains, here's a little trick for you. So let's just, like for us, we're using seven different subdomains because you can only send probably about 20 emails a day per subdomain if you don't want to get blocked. So if you need to send out 300 a week, obviously you're going to have to split that. So, and then you want backups so you can cycle them in and out, whatever, if they get blacklisted. So yeah, the trick is if you have an assistant who responds, or an SDR, for example, who responds to all those emails for you, what you can do is you can connect all those subdomains to basically go to one inbox. So essentially, with the alias, they forward to one inbox, and then that person who's dealing with all these subdomains can respond to all the emails from literally just going inside one inbox. So ideally, you want to get to a stage where you have all these different subdomains. So this is a very scalable system, by the way, as long as obviously, your lead list doesn't run out, which is usually where the bottleneck is in this system. We have problems with that. But if you had like 20 subdomains all sending out cold emails, you could have an SDR who came into one inbox with an SOP of how to respond to all the leads. So they'd literally have, inbox, SOP, CRM. And they'd literally just come in an hour every single day, blast through them again, make sure you need, this is so important, like time kills deals. Get all your responses done within 24 hours of the working week. I can't tell you how important that is. So again, then they can literally blast through the responses from one email box instead of having to log into 20 different Gmail accounts, which is obviously a pain in the ass.
Well done. Wow, there's a lot of stuff there. So my next question is going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
So if people listening to this go, and I'm sure they will, Nigel, this is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
But, they do one thing differently. What should that be?
Yeah, sure. So some advice that I got given once, someone that I work with, her name's Maria, and she told me this: people remember you for how you make them feel. So that's the best thing I can give you. How are you going to make someone feel? Whether it's a cold piece of outreach, whether it's a message in LinkedIn or whatever it is, however you make that person feel that first time they come into interaction with you is how they're going to remember you forever. So first impressions definitely do last the longest. And when you send that email out to them, just think, how are you going to make that person feel? Because again, if you go into your inbox or whatever, LinkedIn, DMs, most people clearly, from the evidence that's in front of you, from the messages you're getting, do not think about that. And it's crazy to me.
but it's absolutely true. That's fantastic. So start thinking about how do you want people to feel. Love it. So Nigel, an awesome amount of content in here. If people have questions or they need to get a little bit more of Nigel Thomas, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, sure. Just before I mention that, I also want to say, once you've got people onto the call, that's only one part of the process, right? So make sure you listen to the rest of Mark's podcasts for all the information on how to actually conduct that sales call. Because get started by all means, but you need to make sure when you get on that call, you're razor sharp. And again, they're going to make another first impression as soon as they see you within 2 seconds. So turn your camera on black and white, get your tonality on point, be a little bit interesting, a little bit sexy, and listen to the rest of Mark's podcast, and I'm sure you'll figure it out along the way.
Well, maybe we need to get you back to talk about that. I don't know if you're up for that, but...
Yeah, can do. I'm all open for that. That's fine.
Okay.
So yeah, where can people find me? If you want to go to Google, I'll make your life easier. Nigel Thomas, Alpha Inbound. The first search back should be LinkedIn. If you go there, at the time recording, I post every single day at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. I talk about the truth behind paid social and how it helps direct-to-consumer brands. I sometimes talk about sales, but here's the thing. You can see, in line with my cold outbound strategy, what my content strategy is, because that is for the 97% of the market who aren't ready, that I'm nurturing for further down the line. Plant, cultivate, harvest. There you go.
Nigel, thanks for coming on the Best of Sales Skills podcast. You've outdone yourself. Thank you very much.
No worries. Absolute pleasure, Mark. And yeah, thanks to all the listeners. I appreciate your time in advance.
Mate, champion.